I'm thankful that Kurt is one of those people who's instant in season. And it just really blesses me. Of course, I don't know whether you guys know this, but he comes from a long line of very, you know, amazing prophetic type people. I don't know whether he's ever told you this story. I'm not sure he's ever heard it, but here's how it goes. his grandpa went to where they were selling tickets for the Titanic. And he told him, he says, this boat's going down. And he just stood right there by where they were selling tickets. This boat's going down. This boat's going down. This boat's going down. And he did that until the people in the theater removed him. So, some of you are thinking about that now. You're thinking, oh, yeah, okay. What's that? Are you like, yeah, okay. So I'll just stop now. That's enough. But anyway, I am so thankful to have Kurt come and share today. And no, not just because I needed it. I mean, I didn't know I was going to need it as much as I did. But just because he's faithful in season. And he always has good words. So let's do what we always do. We rise to honor the word of God that's going to come forth and receive the gift, because the scripture talks about that. You know, if you honor a righteous man in the name of a righteous man, you'll receive a righteous man and his reward. If you honor a prophet, you'll receive a prophet's reward. So let's honor this man of God and receive what he's got for us today. Can we do that? Amen.
Thank you, brother. Wow. Okay, I'm going to tell my true story and see which one was funnier. How's that? Well, we're going to be talking today about the mind and some scriptures that got me pretty excited. When Pastor mentioned that I was instant in season, my agreement to do it was, but my preparation was already done because the Lord, had, in his wisdom, had already started the thought process, the, wow, that's good, Lord. And he gets on me, see, and then when preachers, they come and they get on the people because we're all in this together. That's how it goes. But I appreciate the opportunity, brother. I appreciate the chance to stand before God's people and just be a mouthpiece. But before I get started, I want to tell you this story. Sort of on the theme, way out there, joins with this. There's a fellow that had some brain problems that required surgery. So he checks into the hospital, and the doctors say, well, we've got to do some experimentation surgery here, sir. But you'll be fine. So they put him under, and they removed the right half of his brain. Got to figure out which part does what. Later on, he came to, and they said, sir, can you count to 10 by 2s? 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. Wow. That's awesome. Okay, but there's more work to be done. So they put him under. They put the right brain back and took the left brain. And woke up and later on, and they said, sir, can you count to 9 by odd numbers? 1, 3, 5, 7, 9. Wow. One more thing to do. They put him to sleep. And they removed both brain lobes, totally empty. They woke him up and he said, hi, I'm running for Congress. Oh, this is on TV, isn't it? This is not a political statement. Yeah. Amen. In the book of Philippians, chapter 2, I'm going to read two versions for you, and I'm probably going to read them in their entirety first, because the King James Version, to me, has such depth to it, especially if you look hard and concentrate hard, because you got to kind of concentrate hard just the way it's written. But then I have another version. I've looked at several of them. I have the humble privilege of having inherited my Uncle Jimmy's entire ministerial library. And that man has Bibles I never heard of. I mean, outline Bibles, topical Bibles, bottom Bibles, soul-winning Bibles, and not just by theme. There is original language, and I just poured myself into them and got real excited when I came to this part, because this part of Philippians is something that we were familiar with, and the King James just impacted me so. But then when I read some of the other translations and transliterations and literal words, I got even more excited, because it's kind of like, here's the dinner, now let me spoon feed it to you so you can get all of the spiritual nutrients of it. And there's still more to be had. I mean, who can absorb all that? But Philippians chapter 2 says, if there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercies, fulfill my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love and being one accord of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, in other words, because of these things we just read, God also has highly exalted him, given him a name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and every tongue would confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, if you've heard me speak some other times or just talk to me at all about Scripture, I am really big on what I call God emphasis. God emphasis. Because we're so hard-headed, hard-hearted sometimes. For the Lord to say, I'm just going to bless you a lot. If God told me that, I saw him with my own eyes, and he said that, I would be very excited about that. Wow, a lot is a lot to God. But he doesn't. He says, I'm going to bless you exceedingly and abundantly and above all that you could ever ask or you could ever think about. He always expresses things in such multiple layers of affirmation to us. Always. And you say, well, why is that? Because that's how a kind of a measure that we can maybe put a thumb on of how much he really loves us. And even then, we still kind of have the attitude and we're bombarded with the negativism to the point that we still run into doubt in our lives, especially in the face of physical obstacles that are physically impossible. But there's nothing impossible with God. And, you know, we all know the scripture, all things are possible. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, those kind of things. We'll probably touch on that again in a moment. But I love how he, what we would call overemphasizes, but he still can't say it enough because he wants us to know. God's love for us is such that if he could sit with us, I believe we could be with Jesus, and he could tell us, I love you. I don't mean just romantic love or friend love or agape love, all the other types, but the love of the complete person all the way around. He could say it from now to eternity and it still wouldn't express how much he loves us. That's why God emphasizes, that's why he does that. I believe with all my heart. We're going to talk about, if you haven't picked up on it, we're going to talk about our mind today. Our mind. See how that tied in with the brain thing? Just very loosely, but it still was kind of sewed it together. And we'll move on. Our mind. I was going to give somebody a piece of my mind the other day, but I was not qualified, so I didn't have any left. And the good thing about having the mind that God gave us is that in Scripture, he defines it very clearly what our mind is. And I missed it for so long. I'm not saying I'm the only one that's figured this out, because by far I have not. But as you study the Word of God, he says that the Word of God is quick and powerful. It's alive and it's powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. It's able to divide asunder, or in other words, to tell and show us the difference between soul and spirit, joints and marrow. In other words, let me move those pieces around. The Word of God is able to define clearly for us that we are spirit, soul, and body. The spirit, the soul, the body. We are Trinity beings in the image of a Father God who is a Trinity individual. Trinity individual? Yeah, don't figure it out. I can't either, but I believe. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And if you spend your time thinking about that, you realize that if I'm a threefold being, I want all parts of my existence to honor God, but I need all my existence saved. It all needs to be born again. We live on earth in the physical part, the joint, the marrow, the fleshy part, and we're bombarded with what the prince of the power of the air always wants to do, which is death. The devil's not interested in making you think and giving you burdens to worry your mind and make your life horrible and to do this and do that. He can't really do a whole lot of anything. The things that happen that are bad in the earth are set in motion because of original sin and decay, and bodies die and buildings fall and the whole thing. It's cyclic, but it's all because there was an original sin. But now there's an original Savior who sent word to us so we can renew our mind. And in fact, our mind is sort of the gateway to the Spirit and the bridge between the Spirit and the body. Your mind is the part of us. The Bible refers to it in original languages. I've checked two or three of them. There's the word psyche. We get the word soul derived from some of those words. And it's called mind in some translations. It's called soul in others. So the mind, or your soul, if I may, is the part of us that is cognizant. It's aware. We're the dynamic part, dunamis, the dunamis part of the being that we are. We make decisions, free, independent, free will decisions with our mind based on what we put into it, how we are educated, our culture, a lot of different things. And unfortunately, when we're born into the earth, we're born into the negative flow, the downstream flow. And as we grow, we see that people will seem to be competing and fighting and hating. And what it's because sin's condemned in the physical part, the physical flesh. And it wants to do its own thing. It wants to be in control. It wants to rule people. It wants to hate people. It wants to kill itself. It's just destructive. The flesh, it needs to die. And you don't want it to die without the other two elements of your being, your soul and your spirit, being one with the Lord. Because if your flesh dies without you having that relationship, that's where death only begins. But there is a turnaround. And again, I like to think of it as the God emphasis, emphasizing. Even our bodies can be saved, and in time, the fulfillment of that will come to pass, and the dead in Christ arise, and so forth. But when we come to a place, God has pursued us to the place, and we're wrong if we think, I found Jesus. No, he found me, because I wasn't even looking for him. He left the 99, and for some reason, loved me. Even when I was unlovable, campaigning against him, campaigning against myself, doing things by accident, doing things on purpose that was wrong. And before I got saved, I did it too. What? You've done things on purpose? What's wrong after you became a Christian? Well, Jesus said it this way. He said, my little children, these things I write, or Paul said, I write these things to you that you sin not. But if you do, some translations, some use that word if as when. You have an advocate with the Father. You have a perpetual mediator with the Father. When he looks at your life and you've committed a sin, whether it be you didn't know it, which not likely, or you did it on purpose, when the Father looks at you, he has to look through a film of blood from a cross. It's paid for already, Lord. It's paid for. You have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And then not only will he forgive your sin as you confess it, you'll be healed too. Emphasis. Let me do a little more than what you think I will do. And you do that and you find out that that's exceedingly more than you can do. And you just don't. I'll even say this, if I may. I used to wonder about the full gospel message of speaking in tongues, speaking another language. Sometimes I thought, I remember thinking this, I have no idea if it's true or not. But it just gets so good sometimes with the Lord, you don't have words to say it in English. You don't know how to express this, and you revert back to infancy, and you're just making the kind of sounds that mamas and dads love to hear from their babies. I just love you, God. You might not understand it. I think that might be part of it. I don't know if it isn't. That's okay. I like it. Like when your cup is, you know, my cup runs over. You fill a glass of water up, you just listen. It's full. You hear the gurgling. Blah, blah, blah. Blah, blah, blah. You just can't hold it all. That's kind of a little bit of what the goodness that God has for us. Now, I told you earlier we're going to talk about the mind, and this is very important, the soul, the mind, the part of us that thinks and reasons, the part of us that is cognizant. Well, what's the spirit, Kurt? Well, I could say a lot more about my take on that. The spirit is the life of God in us. He molded. We just bought a little Play-Doh toy, so I know what this is like. We're not much more than Play-Doh, really, even you touch this stuff. He molded us, and he breathed into the spirit. I don't know if this is how it happened. The words imply that it, hold it up like this. This is how I picture it. This is Kurt chapter 1. This isn't totally Bible, but I put it in images. Held that body up, and he breathed into the man, the breath of God. And then man became a living soul. See how the dots connect? Adam was instantly alive and aware. Woo, doggies. What, who are you? Oh, wow. I don't even know how to think how Adam thought that first instant. I have no idea the beauty of it. Because again, there's God emphasis there. There's green things, and what are those things walking around, and blue sky, and wow. And this fella, God, hanging out with me. Just amazing. And he became a living soul, able to choose right away what he wanted, what he desired. A free will entity just like God, made in his image, formed in his likeness. Wonderful. Later, God saw it right. He saw that it wasn't good for the man to be alone, so he took a piece of that guy and molded the woman. She became to be a living soul the same way Adam did. The breath of God was breathed into her. In fact, I hear a song that Hillsong does called A Billion Times, and one of the chords or one of the lines in there says, from the vapor of your breath, the planets form, life form, just the vapor of God's breath. Because you know what? When God said, let there be light, it has never stopped. There's still light happening today. And from what people smarter than me tell us, that you can flash a light into outer space and it just goes on forever. At what? What's the speed of light? I think I saw some kids driving it the other day, but I don't know. Get out of the road. It never stops because the power of his word never stops. Think about that. The first recorded thing we have that came out of his mouth is light become. Actually, the literal says, light be here now as if you always were and you will always be. That's, wow. Everything he tells us is that way because he's God. He would have to say stop before it would. There's a fig tree that experienced that in Jesus' time. Jesus passed by, no fruit on it, and just for nothing more, I think, than some kind of lesson or many lessons we can learn from that, he looked at it and said, from this day forward, you'll bear no more fruit, and there was none. The minute the last syllable came off his lips, the tree was done. But the truth of this is, the minute that he said, Father, forgive them, and it fell off his lips, it was done. Finished. To the point that I have to catch myself sometimes, and when I'm in the middle of some kind of a difficult time, a stress, a struggle, or whatever, and I start to say things like, well, I'm going into spiritual battle. Why? We already won the victory. But I have to push back. Yeah. But I have to resist. Sure. But the outcome is not in doubt. Not since they nailed him to the cross. They nailed you and me and every human on earth. He was just the proxy. His blood spilling was all of our blood, replacing it. He who knew no sin was made to be sin for us. That's another one when I dig deep into it. It's, oh my goodness. We say the word sin, we think of things, stuff we do. Maybe it's a sin of abstinence, stuff we don't do that we should. But the implication of that passage is that he became the substantive, tangible essence of all that sin was and is. Every part of it. The sin nature, the rebellious nature. All the little leaves that grow from that deadly fig tree. Hate, covetousness, pride, envy. All of that stuff. He became that so that you and I could become the righteousness of God in Christ, joint heirs with him. This scripture talks about the mind that he had, and here's where we're going to go with it. Fulfill my joy and be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord in one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, humility. Let this mind be in you, verse 5, which was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought. He thought. So carry that back to the beginning, the meaning of the sentence. This mind, this thinking process, you think this way. Here's how he thought. Let your mind think the way his thinks. You make a choice. You make an effort. You become a discipline. In other words, you be the disciple you're supposed to be and discipline yourself so that you feed your mind things that will make it think the way Jesus does. Let this. You please allow this. You must allow it to be in you. There's a lot of things that you and I can and must do and make the choice about. We have the ability, especially in the mind, in the soulish area, the free will choice, we choose this or that, right or wrong, yes or no, up or down. We make those choices in life. And there's events that happen, there's consequences, hopefully more good than not, but God's the buffer there when we do fall short. Because the sins are forgiven, the mercy's there, the grace is there. That's why he said, I'm never going to leave you or forsake you. Not just leave you, he won't forsake you either. That emphasis. Man, I need to write a new version, brother, the emphasis Bible. It'd be about this thick. It's like, do you get it yet? I just love it. We can choose what we think, and he tells us here to make the choice to allow the same mind in you that Jesus has. Well, what's in his mind? Well, he goes on to say that even though he was in the form of God, he never emphasized any of that on the earth is what it means. It says, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but rather he made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, humbled himself, became obedient to death, even the death of the cross, the worst ever. The lowest of any low that could ever be. That's humility. Especially when he walked around knowing at any time, not just on the cross, what could he have called 10,000 angels? If he could have do it then, he could have done it any time. This, the whole complex of everything, it's just stunning. But he made the choice to humble himself. Because why? Because we needed him to. We needed someone who could get lower than us underneath us to pick us up. And there were some pretty dirty people. We've done some pretty bad stuff. Not just us, but the whole world. And you're like me. You think of recorded history about all the tyrants who killed millions and billions of people and murder and all the other stuff going on in the world today. All of us. He became lower than all of us. Let that mind be in us. Think that way. Think this way. And when you do that, that's where you hit the place where your self is crucified daily. You have to crucify your flesh every day. That's how you do it, through humility, esteeming others higher than yourself. Be completely obedient even to the wicked death of the cross. Wherefore, because of thinking this way, here's what God did for Jesus. The Father did for the Son. Because of this, he has exalted him a little bit. That's not what it says. Highly exalted him and given him a name that's above every name. We got to think this way. Think this way. God's highly exalted Jesus, given him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, people will worship. What does it say? It doesn't say that. It says that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Every knee, every tongue, everyone ever made to live on planet Earth, human being, living or dead by physical standards, makes no difference. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. And he's not sitting there soaking it in. Worship me. Worship me. Why do we think sometimes, oh, you shouldn't come to church dressed that way. This is the Lord's house. Yep. Come on in. Oh, you shouldn't do this. Some of the people that know most about Christianity have never been a Christian. But you know, sometimes the view that they come to is, well, you're a Christian. You shouldn't be saying that. You shouldn't be doing that. And you know they've never known the Lord. Don't you dare, Kurt, point a finger at those people and say, you don't even know what it's like to be a Christian. I make fun of movies I watch that portray stories of real life people who were ministers. And they show pictures of people in church, and it's all how Hollywood does. And they have no clue, because the presence of the Lord isn't in the room. But, you know, they're doing their best to act it out. Well, it's hollow, it's whatever. And then they get crazy, and I get judgmental and turn the TV off and do exactly opposite of this for a while and then come back to it. Those people have no idea. Why do they have to portray Southern Baptist people the way they do? You know, everything is overemphasized in the wrong and everything, and that's why the devil loves it, because it's a lens of the wicked that overemphasizes things that are not real. That's what he loves to do, make things that are not real make people think they're real. In reality, you pull that lens away where everything looks big, and he's about that big. And he has no power to do anything. You know why? Because the wages of sin is death. Sin died on the cross. All sin, the nature of it, the practice of it, the idea of it, died on the cross. And those who know that and accept that and accept him, you're covered. He's got your back and your front and the inside and the outside and your mind, because your soul is saved. I remember my little mamaw. She's about this tall, about that wide, same, just a roly-poly little beautiful woman. She would talk about, Jesus, save our soul, save my soul. And I'm like most anybody. And if you thought different than me, then you're smarter than me, and I appreciate that. But I always thought the soul was the spiritual part of us, the being part of us, but I never knew that you could divide and know the different things and how God had made provision for each, and that there was power to be born again in each. The power of being born again, spiritually united, one in the Spirit of the Lord. Jesus said, My Father and I are one. Let this mind be in you. I'm not worthy. Run to Daddy, ask him. All he'll see is that you were made worthy. Don't let the mind be in you that you're still an old sinner saved by grace. Does it mean that sin was never in your life? Does it mean that we still don't fail from time to time? It just means it's paid for. Now, we don't trample on the grace and just say, well, if I'm saved, I'm just going to do what I want. Well, if what you want isn't this, the like-mindedness, then you might find there's different outcomes in your life. But he said he's never going to leave, so you're going to have to do whatever you're going to do with him hanging around. Makes you wonder, well, wow, he knows everything? If he never leaves, yep, that's my take on it. I don't do something wrong and say, wow, you've offended me, the Holy Spirit. I'm not staying with you anymore. Can't do that. You know why? Because the vapor of his breath of his command never stops. My word will not return void, empty, purposeless. My word will accomplish the thing that I sent it to do. Be saved in the name of my Son. You're forgiven in the name of my Son. You're blessed in the name of my Son. You're covered by the blood of my Son. Rejoice like me, he says. The Bible says he rejoices over us with singing. That doesn't sound like somebody up here just soaking it in. That sounds like somebody that we would use the word. I don't know if it's the right word. Help me if there's another one. If we felt about people the way God feels about us, you would say we're obsessed with. I'm obsessed with you, brother. You're the focus. You're everything. Da, 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 da. Just like marriage. Just like friendship. Just like esteem others. All others, every others, higher than ourselves. He tells us to do that. He didn't say you'll just automatically do that as a believer. That's a disciple function. That's a discipline function. I will esteem others higher than me. Except that guy, man. He smells. No. Why? Because you used to, just like me, we used to smell too. Actually, smell is the wrong word. Smell is stink is what I'm talking about. That's why noses run and feet smell. Okay. Another tidbit of wisdom there. All right, we're talking about the mind. I want to read that passage to you now from the Message. Just going to read it. This is the one where it said, if there's any consolation in Christ, let this mind be in you. Every time confess Jesus is Lord. I'm going to read that entire passage in more modern language. If you've gotten anything out of following Christ, if his love has made any difference in your life, if being in a community of the Spirit means anything to you, if you have a heart, if you care, then do me a favor. This is Paul saying, agree with each other. Love each other. Be deep-spirited friends. Don't push your way to the front and don't sweet-talk your way to the top. Put yourself aside and help others get ahead. Don't be obsessed with getting your own advantage. Forget yourselves long enough to lend a helping hand. Think of yourselves the way Christ Jesus thought of himself. He had equal status with God, but didn't think so much of himself that he had to cling to the advantage of the status, of that status, no matter what. When the time came, he set aside the privileges of deity and took on the status of a slave, being human. Having become human, he stayed human. It was an incredibly humbling process. He didn't claim special privileges. Instead, he lived a selfless, obedient life and then died a selfless, obedient death, the worst kind of death, a crucifixion. And because of that obedience, God lifted him high, honored him far beyond anyone or anything ever, so that all created beings in heaven and on earth, even those long ago dead and buried, will bow in worship before this Jesus Christ and call out in praise that he is the master of all and the glorious honor, to the glorious honor of God the Father. Whew. Now to me, reading those verses is kind of like how I comb my hair sometimes. Sometimes I think, maybe I need a little different look, so I comb it the other way. In high school and college, I parted it down the middle. And it's the same hair, but boy, it sure looked different. So when I put it the way that I'm accustomed to looking in the way it's supposed to naturally go, there it is. That's how I read these verses of Scripture. Try it several different ways. Not that any of the ways reading Scripture is bad, but you're going to see through the prism how I see it. These different translations, different things. As you seek the Holy Spirit and read this, you can turn it and you see the same message from a different perspective. Not just humble yourself, but serve others. Think more of others than yourself. It didn't say completely do away with yourself. The Bible says no man has yet ever hated his own flesh, but it did say you needed to crucify it on a daily basis. Wow, I don't hate it, but I crucify it. Well, you crucify the part of it that's lifeless and mean and ugly and wants to do its own thing. Eventually, somewhere that God the Father knows, if you're a believer in Jesus and you've accepted his sacrifice as payment for your sins and he's your Savior, this flesh will be turned into something different. This mortal will put on immortality. This corruption will become incorruptible. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the... God emphasis. From heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the air to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Well, when people pass away, Kurt, what if they get eaten by a shark? Or what if there's 9/11, all those people that perished, where are their bodies? So we think, I've had people ask me this, we think it's more difficult for God to call the physical elements of a body together. That's tough for God. We're talking about the Creator who created this planet, looked at the dirt and said, yeah, there's my man. Right there, I see. Let me draw it out here. We do it today, and it means somebody died there. When God drew it out, it meant someone is alive here. Yeah, the devil does. He turns things around. Man, what an ugly dude. He's such a liar. But in God's true emphasis of his love for us, the physical body is where sin is condemned, in the flesh. That's why we still have temptations and struggles, and that's a whole other story, but very real and relevant. But we still have our body outnumbered 2-1. We have our soul, our mind, our ability, and we have the Spirit of God who's one with us. Not just a life force. I'm not saying that's just an energy. That is life itself. He is life. God is Spirit. Spirit is alive in us. God is in us. The Creator. Jesus said, I and my Father are one, and let this mind be in me. He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Why? Because he's me and I'm him. Blasphemy. Well, it would be if God hadn't said it, but he did. And I believe it. I have to believe it. I would be a fool knowing that to choose not to believe it. And there are people, you know some, I know some, who they lived all of 22 years, maybe 30 years. I'm an atheist. I've lived long enough, I know enough that I can firmly believe and have more faith that there is no God. And when I hear or think of people that do that, my mind immediately goes, says, well, God will show them. And he goes, you show them. What do I have to show them? Your job. Besides that, I love you. And you know what, Kurt? I love that wayward son too. But he said he doesn't believe in you. Doesn't matter. For God so loved the world, not this ball of clay, all the humans in the world is what he meant. He loves them all. Always did, does, and will. We may not like them. We may not love them. We may know, man, there's no way God could love this person or that person. Because of this. Let me get real. I believe human life starts at conception. I believe that if a man and a woman went to Mars and she became pregnant on Mars, the minute they announced the pregnancy, life on Mars. Instantly, you get that? Do you agree? Don't you think that, oh, they're looking for anything, man. If they see a rock go this way, we need to find out if there's life in rocks because it moved. Whatever. And the fact is, they'd be right. They who say here that something like that needs to be legislated, calculated. Ask somebody on the street, well, when does life start? College students. I heard, if this is anything close to true, interviewing on the street some guy, that I think he was 4 years at Stanford or whatever. He said, well, I think life begins when they can breathe on their own. Well, here, let me cover your mouth for about 30 seconds, and will you become not human? Well, that's stupid. Well, welcome to the club. I shouldn't say that. Let this mind be in you. Why I get combative sometimes thinking about it, but remember when Peter chopped off the guy's ear? Jesus said, well, in so many, this is the Kurt translation. Barney Fife, what are you doing? Peter was Barney Fife. And if you know Andy Griffith, you think somebody, some young kids watching this video say, what's he talking about? Jesus instantly, miraculously healed. No scar, no blood, no fuss, no fuss. Healed the guard that came. Heal him. Hung on the cross, those people standing around there laughing, rolling dice, gambling for his clothes, all this stuff. Father, forgive them. Because they know not what they do. Let that mind be in me. Let that mind be in you. Tell them there's a song there. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Let that mind be in me that's in you. Our challenge today isn't to just fight the good fight of faith. We need to. They're still fighting. It's the only fight where there is no war at risk of losing. The battle we have to fight is when we humble ourselves in thought the way Jesus did. And we have to make the decision to do that. And we're capable of making that decision, or he wouldn't have said that we would. Why? Because we have his Spirit, his helper is in us to help us. On our own, we couldn't if the flesh was driving us. But since the Spirit is, we can make a disciplined, discipled decision to think about things. And what we read, what we say, where we go. Or we can decide not to. And God still rejoices over us with love. He just goes, sometimes, a lot to Kurt. Come back. Don't make that choice. I'm not happy you made it, but you're mine. And when I do make a mistake and I think different or I don't think as I should, and it finally dawns on my half of the brain that it's supposed to, and my soul feels burdened with the guilt, I'm not guilty in God's eyes. But when I know that I've done wrong and I've judged and I've done something wrong, you know where I don't run? Is away from God. I'm so embarrassed. That throne room you're in, Lord, was sealed up so long. And I'm not worthy to be in there. Says who? Well, I don't feel like, well, says who? I don't look like, says who? What does God, what does your daddy say? What does Abba Father, what does your father say? Come to me. He didn't just say this to the world is lost. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke on you. Take this mind on you. Think this way. Not for heaven's sake, for your sake. Think this way. And don't crawl to me. God, I'm so unworthy. I feel like I've done so wrong. Don't get me wrong. There's a brokenness we need to go through, and we do go through when we've failed, when we've fallen short. But one failed event doesn't make you a failure. 1,000 doesn't, as long as you get up 1,001 time. Because how long does God's mercies endure for? Forever. Is his grace sufficient? Sure it is. Run to the Father. The Bible says we can come boldly to the throne of grace, to the throne to obtain grace and mercy to help in the time of need. Boldly. Well, but I don't feel like I should come boldly. Well, you don't feel like you have the ability to pray for someone and watch God heal them. You don't have that ability to happen. It has to be a God thing. But yet we do. To love people. To let people in our life that we normally wouldn't, because esteem others highly. When you let the physical think about it and drive you and culture drive you, we're nowhere near this. So how do we think the way Jesus thinks? Well, we have a dictionary. It's called the Holy Bible. All the words in that book are by definition, is the vocabulary of the Holy Spirit. What he says, it not just confirms that book, they are that book. Spirit form, vapor breath form, God form. His word. So if we feed on that and put it in our eyes and put it in our mind, because that's where it comes in through the gateway, and we fill up, this is how I think it. It's not really this way, but it is for right now, okay? You put so much in your brain, it doesn't hold, so it leaks down into your heart. Kind of like that song somebody sings and it just sort of sticks with you. And you know, you hear a funny song, and you're at a carnival, or you're at home watching TV. Then you're in the middle of a funeral, and that song comes to mind. You're, I can't get it out of my mind. It's just, well, you don't need to get any of this out of your mind. We need to get it in there. And then when it does fill your heart up, the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What? Words, just like our Father, who's a Spirit, who spoke words, and good things happen, and life happened, and your forgiveness happened, and other people are touched. That's why words are very, very important. Pastor Tim said, I think it was last week you mentioned that you talked about words at some point in some message before you had a message. I was getting some of this at this point. Words are very important. Words are creative containers. And if you don't believe it, listen to this. And I'm going to close here in about 30 minutes. I won't go that long. This stinks. You people are just ridiculous. I hope they don't take this out of context. I hate these people. I wish they would die. I'd kill them in a second if I could. Words. Now here's words. I love you. I love you with the love of the Lord. Music is words too, with that God emphasis. I'm my beloved and he is mine. His banner over me is love. I don't know where it came from, Sunday school, 1979. Come unto me, all you who labor, and I'll give you rest. If we confess our sins, he's faithful. He's just, he'll forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Those are words too. Now, which one made you feel a certain way? What did those words create in us? It created an environment. It created an atmosphere. It is a very spiritual thing. It's possible that we can, in our brilliance, that we can misalign, misinterpret, hyper do this, that with words and think that I can say, table, elevate. I'm confessing it. No, 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 no. That's one of those God going, nope. But when you lay your hands on someone who's sick and you've gurgled your glass over with the word and you've set your mind to say, Father, in the name of Jesus, by his stripes, we're healed. And if we could get to the place that we leave off the asterisks, By his stripes we're healed. But if he dies, you must have a different plan. And that's the ultimate healing. And it is. It is. It's true. There is no way the devil wins in this thing, no matter what happens. And if we venture by faith to reach out by faith, truly honoring God, and something doesn't appear to be the way we expected, that doesn't mean change your expectation. That means we win. Let's take another step. There is no losing for the believer. Death is swallowed up. Not just, boy, we won that in 3 overtimes and barely got rid of death. Swallowed up in victory. I love this verse. I'll shut up now because it's not 35 minutes, but it's time. We misquote the scripture, and I've done it myself. But this isn't a moment from God. This is a, read it again, read it again, read it again, read it again. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord raises up a standard against him. Oh, when the enemy comes in like a flood, then the Lord raises up a standard against him. That's good. But listen to this. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord raises up a standard against him. Not just a wall, a pushback. Because God's will and his love and his vapor and his life and his promises never end. They never stop. Once they leave his lips, they're eternal. And they don't fall void anywhere. We need to let that mind be in us as it was in Christ. Let's bow our heads. Father, I'm grateful that you willed it for me to have this opportunity to share. I pray that what I spread out here today, Lord, would find the good ground of all these folks' heart, that they would come to realize not new revelation, but renewed, a new excitement, a new blessing from you, a new excitement to look at our mind and our soul and realize, wow, it's all good. I just need to feed on the right food and say the right, allow my heart to say the right things that I feed on, which is your word and your love. Help us in all of this, Lord, where we know that we're falling short, but we have you with us as our helper, so we know that we've overcome it all by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. In Jesus' name, amen.